Welcome to day two of Donkey Kong Week.
That's right.
We have a fresh new batch of bananas.
It's a great new set. Wow.
Beautiful.
Wonderful.
Decorated set. We're getting so excited for Donkey Kong Bonanza. And this week we're counting down to the big launch with videos about Donkey Kong all week long.
Indeed.
Yesterday we did a cool video reacting to Donkey Kong Exposed, the VHS tape.
Exposed?
Exposed.
What does that mean?
You can see his banana. Today, we're going to be learning more about the producer of Donkey Kong Bonanza, Kenta Motokura.
Yes, and I think this is a name that maybe some people know about, but maybe some people also don't.
Right.
And it just so happens to be somebody that we got to know pretty well when we were working at Nintendo. So we thought, let's put the spotlight on old Mr. Motokura and tell the world what he's all about.
Exactly. Want to dig into his history a little bit, our experience working with him when we launched Odyssey. Obviously, a lot of the Odyssey team is now working on Donkey Kong Bonanza. And most importantly, what makes the guy tick?
Yes.
Because I think that's going to give us a really good indication and clue into what Donkey Kong Bonanza is going to be like.
Yeah, he's worked on a lot of games now. It's a good question. It's like, what makes a Kenta Motokura game, since he's becoming this bigger and bigger figure within Nintendo? It's like, wait, let's look at like what are his kind of defining characteristics in his games.
Right, right. And he's had a pretty long history at Nintendo. He joined the company in the 2000s.
Hard to believe because he looks so young.
He looks like a baby face.
I gotta say, one of the best heads of hair in the industry. Look at this man's hair.
It's beautiful, flowing
locks.
It's voluminous.
It's wonderful. I'm jealous of this hair.
I mean,
my gosh.
Yeah, he's a handsome man. But he's been with Nintendo since 2000.
Yes.
So he's had the history with the company already. He actually started out as a character designer, working on a couple of various projects, like Pokemon Stadium he worked on, kind of like more disparate projects before he joined the Tokyo team.
And this is such kind of a classic career path for a lot of big-time Nintendo developers coming in from the visual side of things, of kind of the character design side of things. And we saw firsthand so many Nintendo developers are just, they're always doodling, they're always sketching.
Oh,
I drew this. Why don't you take this? I was like, oh my gosh, this is like a one of a kind piece of original
art. Right, right.
My life is made. But he's like, oh, just throwing this stuff away left and right in their spare time.
Yeah, they were, him and Mr. Koizumi are classic napkin doodlers.
Yes.
And we would be in meetings with them all the time and they would just be drawing on napkins and I would collect those napkins.
Save those.
Creepily. I think I have one actually from Odyssey. But he was always drawing. He always definitely seemed really interested in characters and just the expressiveness of characters, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But that's his background, is from character design.
Right, so he bounced around with a couple things, and then he started on the Mario series. His first Mario game was Super Mario Sunshine. We won't hold that against him, but that was his first his first game working in the Mario series.
Yeah.
And he kind of kept working in this kind of design role, but then he had his first game director role, which is a very
important thing. Yeah,
but, director and producer are kind of the two top jobs in terms of game development.
Yeah.
Super Mario 3D World. Interestingly, that he was a co-director for that game with another very important person on that Tokyo team, Koichi Hayashida.
Yes, and when we worked on Super Mario 3D World, we actually didn't get a chance to really meet and get to know Mr. Motokura. We were mainly working with Mr. Hayashida at the time, and we have these photos of him in the cat ears, big old cat paws. He was really the face in terms of the development team with Super Mario 3D World, but interesting that they basically held the same role and they were co-directing this game, but we didn't really hear much from Mr. Motokura.
Right, right. So that's an interesting question to ponder as we talk about Mr. Motokura. It's like, okay, well then what is Mr. Hayashida doing? Because they always to us seemed like peers.
They were definitely peers.
Like equals, and again, like they're capable of co-directing a game. Really, obviously their output is like peerless.
Yeah.
Like the games they make are incredible. So it does make you ask, like, okay, well if this team with Mr. Motokura is making this,
then what's Mr. Hayashida doing?
Surely Mr. Hayashida is keeping himself busy by doing something else.
Yes.
That's a topic for another time, though, but it is an interesting thing to ponder.
Right, and their boss, both their bosses, is Koizumi-san.
Yes,
The big guy.
Who, at this point, we gotta say, has kind of ascended to a nearly Miyamoto level.
Right, kind of Aonuma-esque in a way.
I'd say almost beyond.
Maybe beyond a little
because
bit.
Because it's like,
yeah.
I don't know day to day how much he's getting hands-on in game development. Like, because he is truly, like, so many things that Nintendo's doing, like, he has a hand in. The original Nintendo Switch hardware, he was one of the key leads on.
I'm sure he worked on Switch 2 hardware to a degree as well, in terms of in a role where he was perhaps consulting or overseeing certain things.
Right. So I'm sure that he is, you know, giving input. We know that he gave a lot of input on Donkey Kong to Mr. Motokura for this game. But in terms of like, all right, I'm devoting all of my time to this one game.
I don't think he's doing that.
I think he has kind of ascended to another level.
I think so too. I think he's definitely more of the visionary of that Tokyo team versus him being like in the weeds.
Right. And that's why you see, you know, he was previously the producer. Now Mr. Motokura is the producer.
There you
go. And now we have the new director, Mr. Takahashi, who's kind of new to the studio over the last couple of years entirely.
So you can see the ascension.
People are... You
know, promotions.
They're moving on up.
Promotions.
Their career pathing. Path. Yes, yeah. check out their LinkedIn for all their hot updates on everything that they learned.
His think piece about being grateful for the new opportunities. Yes.
But yeah, so he co-directed Super Mario 3D World. Then he directed Super Mario Odyssey, and then now he is in the producer role for Donkey Kong Bonanza.
Right, So he was, and that's where we really got to know him, was with his role within Odyssey. He was really with Mr. Koizumi through all of that marketing that we did for Odyssey. And yeah, it was sort of like they were a pair where Mr. Koizumi was the producer and Mr. Motokura was the director. But you can see now he's producing, you know, Donkey Kong Bonanza. He's leading this brand new team. He has this other person, Mr. Takahashi, sort of as the director. And he's really, you can see even in that interaction that they have right now that he's kind of showing him the ropes and, you know, Motokura-san has a very long history with Nintendo, so he has, like, the history and, like, the background and how things work. Right. So you can see him in that role now as producer, which is exciting.
Right, right. And as we noted, Mr. Koizumi is his boss, as he is Mr. Hayashida's boss. But more than that, like, they do seem to have kind of, like, a protege-mentor relationship.
Yes.
Where it's like, all right, you two guys have a lot of promise. I'm taking you under my wing. I'm going to show you everything that I've learned. I'm going to show you the Nintendo way of doing things. And now he's got 25 years under his belt.
Yeah.
Again, this guy barely looks like he's 30.
Right.
I don't know. How's that working out?
I think he's eating a lot of bananas.
He's eating the bananas, yes. No, he's doing the move. He's doing the move where you eat the banana and then you wipe it on your face.
What's Mr. Motokura's like 5 a.m. wake-up routine? Is he dipping his face in a Saratoga water too? What's going on? Looks so good.
Wow. But yes, I think as we get further along and we talk about what are the hallmarks of a Motokura game, that relationship with Mr. Koizumi is so
paramount,
important
because
he's learned from one of the greats now for decades.
And that is how it works at Nintendo. Mm-hmm. Like, we talk a lot about this old guard, you know, the Miyamotos, the Tezukas, the Aonumas, the Koizumis of the world. And, you know, they are taking younger developers under their wing. They are doing the job of being their boss and helping them get games out, but they're also doing the job of really teaching them what is in the Nintendo DNA.
Right.
Like, that is how the company works.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think, you know, the 3D Mario team especially, they have a very specific style in which they create these games, and I for sure know that Mr. Koizumi is probably teaching all of that stuff to Mr. Motokura.
Indeed.
and Mr. Hayashida,
indeed,
of course, as well.
So again, we both worked on Super Mario 3D World, but we didn't really hear about him or didn't really have any contact with him.
I know.
It was not until Mario Odyssey that we really got kind of our crash course on Mr. Motokura. And we got to meet him in person at E3 2017 for the first time, which was where the booth was all Mario Odyssey themed. It was incredible. And we got to meet him. We thought, oh my gosh, like, this guy's got a big personality. This guy's got a zest for life. Like, this guy's really cool.
Yeah, that was my big takeaway from meeting him in person and spending time with him, is that, like, he's truly one of those kind of, and I mean this as like a big compliment, like almost like a Miyamoto-esque personality, where he just has so much curiosity for, like, the world around him, and he's very fun-loving. You know, he showed up, and I think this speaks to Mr. Koizumi as well, because we talk a lot about how they were showing up dressed the part. You know, Mr. Koizumi was in the red. We lovingly dubbed the PR magic
We didn't. He dubbed it that. We didn't dub
it. Actually, somebody else in the NCL team dubbed it. We all adopted that terminology for it. But it was a very like. It was a costume, basically. They were like cosplaying.
Yeah, right.
And he had, you know, the Mr. Koizumi had the cappy hat on. And then Mr. Motokura shows up. And he's like, you can't show me up, Mr. Koizumi. I'm going to show you what I got fashion-wise.
Yes.
He showed up in the cappy, like true form cappy, the white top hat.
The fuzzy plush cappy top hat, yes.
It was quite adorable,
and you couldn't get that off of his head. And he really... We took note, it was we did a big media preview event. It was like, here, come check out everything that we got going on at E3, and they were there.
Yeah.
And he took the stage, and he did a live interpretive dance.
That's right.
To some of the music from the game. I said, wow, I've seen a lot of things from developers over the years.
I've seen them do
a lot of things that are sometimes off the wall, sometimes unexpected. I've never seen this.
Yes.
Wow.
It was pretty good, though.
It was great.
It was like kind of like the Squid Lab little dance number.
Yeah.
But it was, you can just tell that he was having a great time. He didn't have like a lot of inhibitions.
No, that's the thing.
It seems like he's like, I'll wear the kooky hat.
Yeah.
I'll get out there and do an interpretive dance. Like, I'm just having a great time.
Right.
Like, I don't care what you think of me.
Exactly.
I'm having a great time.
Exactly.
And that was my big takeaway from getting to know him and meeting him. I was like, wow, this guy's super confident and super cool. And just wants to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yes, we need that kind of personality to be translated into a game.
Yes.
You know, that feels right. So that was really fun. We also did later that year for Odyssey the big launch event in New York. Probably the biggest launch event we've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
Was for Odyssey that year in New York. And that was, you know, the one where we had journeyed with Mario across the country, ended up in New York. We had the live dancers doing the flash mob dance routine, a Jump Up Superstar. It was a big deal event. And Mr. Motokura flew to New York on his own dime.
Was
like,
not
for some reason,
allowed to go on
NCL
the company.
NCL was like too cheap to send him or something. I'm sure he asked.
Yeah. Your game only sold 30 million copies. Try harder next time if you want this.
You're not flying to New York.
Perk.
Right. So he ended up going on his own dime. He kind of like incognito.
He was undercover.
Yeah. And I remember someone whispered in my ear, he's like, Mr. Motokura wanted to tell you that he's here, but he's not here officially. Like, he's here on his own.
Okay.
And we were like, wait, what? And so we ended up, yes, of course, we like brought him into the event showed him around. We gave him, Reggie was there as well.
Yes.
We all went around and took photos with all the props and had a great time. I remember I had cappy nails or I had Odyssey themed nails, and he took photos of mine.
Oh,
they had
nice.
All the different kind of moons on it. And he was like, oh my God, it's so cool. And he just had a great time.
Yeah.
Like, he was with his friends, I think. And he was just like walking around. He was just, just wanting to see people's reactions.
Honestly, maybe a better way to experience this event versus working it and ground into dust doing interviews or something else. Yeah.
Right,
maybe
exactly.
He had the right idea all along.
He had the right idea all along. Yeah. He was able to see like the amazing cosplayers that were there, like the big cappy hat toss at midnight.
Yeah.
I think he participated in that, and he was watching it. We have photos of him watching the dancers and taking photos and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, he clearly is just super passionate about not only like putting something out into the world, but watching people's reactions and wanting to see like how people are reacting to the game and stuff and the things in the game. So that was really fun to see. And I really liked that he was there for that.
We did also do a Nintendo Minute with him and Mr. Koizumi.
Yes.
We got to kind of hear some of their behind the scenes stories of making Mario Odyssey. And then something that's relevant to Donkey Kong Bonanza is we learned Mr. Motokura is very passionate about music and games, which again is a very common through line that these two games have in common. He told us all about how he's so passionate about Jump Up Superstar. And now we see, like, gosh, it seems like Bonanza with Pauline is a lot of similar, like, you know, vocally led tracks, like big, like standalone moments that are based around music in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And even in some of the recent interviews, we learned how Pauline came to be in the game. It's a very roundabout way.
Yeah.
I don't think this is the way that many people expected. It was like, well, we were experimenting with some things, and the composer made some music, and that made us think of Pauline, and then we put Pauline in the game. It's like, oh, that's a different way of doing things.
Right.
I gotta say, though, that's like a classic Nintendo way.
That's a classic Nintendo
of doing it. Of like, well, we're not gonna try and shoehorn her in. Where it's like, we're gonna find something else that gives us a spark of inspiration, mm-hmm. and that will be the impetus for doing it.
It's also very like Nintendo to be super gameplay led.
Yes, know,
they were prototyping something that was a section in the game, and they had the composer write a song for it, and the song matched the gameplay of yes. that area so well. That's how they got the inspiration to put Pauline into the game. It wasn't, you know, a story-based reason. It wasn't anything like that. It was just based on this fun gameplay mechanic yes. they were testing out and prototyping, right. which is pretty interesting.
Right. And Odyssey had this big musical moment with the New Donk City Festival, and I feel like Bonanza's going to have some big moments
maybe
that are
even more.
Just like that,
yeah.
too, that are built around these songs that,
yes.
now are becoming this kind of trademark of these Motokura games.
I think for sure music and dancing mm-hmm. and like that kind of spirit. Like he talked so much when we were, you know, talking with him about Odyssey and Jump Up Superstar about like he really loves the feeling that music gives people.
Right.
And his whole point with Jump Up Superstar, we were, you know, remarking to him about like, oh, you know, it's such a joyful moment in the game. And he was like, yeah, you can only sort of experience that kind of joyful, emotional payoff with this kind of big musical showpiece, set piece.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can definitely see him putting a lot of that into Bonanza as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah. So knowing what we know about him through, you know, what he shared and what we've been able to see ourselves behind the scenes, I'm going to talk a little bit about what we might be able to expect
yeah.
out of Donkey Kong Bonanza, knowing, again, that he's overseeing this game.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I think for him being the producer and just even reading through some of these recent interviews and knowing who he is when he worked on Odyssey, I do feel like this game is going to be very game mechanics
yeah.
focused. And again, Nintendo is really known for that anyway. They're really not like a truly, you know, story first, even with Zelda games type of development team. That's just not their philosophy. It's always about, like, let's come up with the most interesting and fun gameplay mechanic, something that will keep the player engaged and keep them coming back. And then we sort of build out from there. And for him, I think, for Donkey Kong Bonanza, is all around this, like, digging mechanic with that voxel technology that he was talking about so
mm-hmm.
much, and something that he was just super interested in. I think he really like gravitated towards what you can do with that mechanic, and it was just some programmer that was working on bits and pieces of that in Odyssey, where you can like dig through some of the areas in Odyssey. So it was sort of that spark that became the main gameplay mechanic, I think, for Bonanza. And yeah, so I feel like, again, because Motokura-san is pretty focused on mechanics and sort of the feeling that the player has playing with Donkey Kong as the main character, I don't think story is, like, first and foremost
yeah.
in his mind.
Yeah, I think yeah. there could be some big, impactful moments
yes.
with the characters that are very fun and memorable and impacting, but in terms of, like, oh, you know,
the deep lore.
Here's the part A of the story. Here's my big outline for the story. I don't think he's
yeah.
got... In some of those interviews,
yeah.
they got asked some questions. There was one that was like, well, how old is Donkey Kong? And his answer was, like, well, that's fun for the players to think about. I think in the back of his head, it was like, I don't know. I don't know and I don't care.
That's exactly what would happen all the time
yeah.
when we would do these interviews with those developers when we were at Nintendo
right.
too. Like, Mr. Miyamoto would get asked all sorts of wild questions about lore.
He would make it up on the spot.
And he would make
yeah.
it up. And then we would ask him afterwards, like, when did that happen?
Yeah.
He was like, I don't know. I just made it yeah. up. I don't care. Like, I don't care.
Why is Mario's last name Mario? It's because of questions like this.
Exactly. And people take it as like canon.
Yeah, like, oh, well.
I mean, Aonuma-san's the same way.
Yeah,
you
right,
ask him
right.
any follow-up questions about Zelda, and he's like, I don't know. I've never thought about this once in my life.
How
you know?
Do monkey or gorillas age, though? That's a question. I should look into that.
Isn't like a dog? Like,
I don't know.
7 years?
How long do gorillas live?
Like,
Donkey Kong's going to live forever.
Gorillas live a long time.
He's going to live forever in our hearts. That's the real
he's ageless,
yes.
I think.
Yes, yes. But again, you were talking about how he has this very unique but very specific to Nintendo developers, this special way of looking at the world.
Yeah, for sure.
Where he sees things differently than most people, and he finds fun and even things that are kind of like mundane about everyday life. Like we started to see this early in our careers when we saw Mr. Miyamoto. He would do things or he would stop and like look at something and then make a comment. It's like,
I never thought of that.
Nobody else really thought about it that way. Yeah. But you do see this now in these other generations. It's so interesting to talk about. Yeah. He consulted with Mr. Koizumi. He also got input from Mr. Miyamoto. So again, all this way of doing things and this
kind
way
of feeding into things. Him, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, and so he's a perfect kind of next cog in this lineage of these developers.
Exactly. And I think, the sort of the specific way that, you know, the real like historical Nintendo developers like Miyamoto-san and Aonuma-san, like they would ask us, we talked about this before, like they would ask us to take them to like museums or like interesting shows.
That had nothing to do with games.
Like just take me somewhere where I can potentially be inspired.
A spark of inspiration.
And that's what they were like, that's what they wanted to do. That's what was interesting to them. And we would do that, and they would, again, they would, like, look, you know, Mr. Aonuma went to, like, the MoMA in New York and was like, I'll see you guys in 3 hours.
Leave me alone.
Leave me alone while I, like, look at these surrealist, you know, paintings or whatever. And we're like, cool, sounds good. And we would ask him, like, oh, what did you think? And he would say some random stuff, like, you know, I never thought of it like that before. Like, your brain works in a very different way. And you can definitely see that with Mr. Motokuro. Like, he has this, like, very playful but very, like, creative curiosity about the world around him.
Yeah, and again, when so many of these people have these artistic backgrounds to begin with,
that's true.
You can kind of connect the dots and see, like, oh, okay, there is a commonality to how all these people who are working on all these different games, they all do have this unique perspective on things. It's very different from almost every other company that's making games.
That's so true.
Right.
That's so true. Because of Mr. Motokura's background as a character designer, I do think that he's paying very special attention to Donkey Kong's like personality and characteristics. He did say in that recent interview with IGN, like, you know, he's really looking at ways to be really effective with Donkey Kong's expressions, and he's paying a lot of attention to that, which is kind of what we all noticed when we watched the recent Direct is, wow, there's so many, he's just so expressive, and it's so different than, like, some of the more, like, blank-faced character models that we're used to seeing with some of these Mushroom Kingdom characters. So I do think that is his big focus, just because it's his background.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's so fun for him to now have this new take on Donkey Kong that he can be like, oh my gosh, I can be the first person to really like show off everything that we could do that maybe we couldn't do to the same extent before in terms of expressions.
Yeah, and he does pay a lot of attention. It seems like he's paying a lot of attention to Mr. Miyamoto's like original design.
Right.
And even taking some inspiration from the Donkey Kong Country games of like, he's just like this cool guy, I mean, cool, you know, Kong going through the jungle. Like, he wanted to really like encapsulate all of that into this new character that is Donkey Kong. So I love that there is this like kind of attention being given to the historical, but also this newness to it as well.
That's interesting, because when this game was first announced, we both asked the question of like, well, are they going to try and just like flush all the old Rare stuff and be like, well, no, this is our take on it. But you know, he, in those recent interviews, he said like, I insisted that Cranky Kong be in the game because I love Cranky Kong. And now we see more and more of that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great way to do it.
It totally
Because there's so much of the Rare stuff that people love and is really enduring. While at the same time, this is very clearly its own thing that's different from that.
And this is another thing that is very much like the Nintendo way, is like they have to create like a really broad experience, especially with games like a 3D Donkey Kong game or a 3D Mario game. You know, you have to create an experience that is good for like everyone, whether you've never ever even seen Donkey Kong before in your entire life and this is your first time, you know, playing a game with Donkey Kong as the main character, to like us who've grown up playing Donkey Kong games and we know all the different iterations of Donkey Kong and we played the super hard like Donkey Kong Country games and everything in between. Like, he is very focused on making sure that this experience with Bonanza is going to be that range of experience that is good for everybody. So he talks about that a lot.
Yeah, I think range is a good way to do it because This game has that sort of easier mode. Mm-hmm. This game has the multiplayer, which we've heard like makes the game feel
quite playable,
quite easy actually in comparison. But then we know these more recent 3D Mario games always have some true like expert level stuff near the end. So I would expect there to be something like that that's off that not everybody is going to get to, but for the really dedicated players who want that, like they're going
to
be pushed.
There's going to be like hard to find secret that you're going to have to combo some. Right. You know, move set
combo
to get
a banana,
to
yes.
Combo all the bananas. Yes. You need the max banana G to get to it. Like, I definitely think that that's in the game as well. Because he's really focused on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there
so
you
there
have
you
it.
There you have it.
What a cool guy.
He is a super cool guy. It's so exciting that he's the producer on Bonanza. That means the game is in very, 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 very capable hands. So I can't wait. I can't wait to play it for myself.
Yeah.
Cool. We're
getting close.
We're getting close. We're going to be back tomorrow with another Donkey Kong video.
We're going to be ranking Donkey Kong music. I'm sure the comments for that will be extremely friendly, and everybody will agree with our decisions.
Of course you
will. Can't wait to see you there.
Can't wait to see you there. We can all agree that aquatic ambience, though, right, is like a jam. We can all agree on that.
Well...
Can we all
back tomorrow to find out?
Can we find common ground around aquatic ambiance, please?
Check back tomorrow.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Bye.